Please open your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 9, the verses 1 to 7. This will be a familiar passage to our children because they've been memorizing it, at least part of it. Isaiah 9, verses 1 to 7. We will spend the entire day looking at this passage from two different aspects. So if you want to say that you've listened to a sermon today, you've got to show up in the morning and the evening, because it's really one sermon in two parts. Isaiah 9, the verses 1 to 7. This is the living word of the living God. But there will be no gloom for her who was in anguish. In a former time, he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the latter time, he has made glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelled in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with the joy at the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil. For the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder and the rod of his oppressor you have broken as on the day of Midian. For every boot of the trampling warrior in the battle tumult and every garment rolled in blood will be burned as fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. So far, the reading of God's holy word. Let us pray that he would open us these words. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you and we pray that you would open not only your words, but even our hearts. That you would open our minds and see new things, new treasures, a new way, a new path in your word. For you speak today. Speak now, Lord, for your children are listening. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. My dear friends, what is Christmas about? How is Christmas to be celebrated in this broken world that we live in? How can we say that Jesus is the light of the world, yes, brighter than the sun, while we still live in a world full of pain and full of darkness? For the majority of the Western world, Christmas is a celebration of gifts and food and lights. It's sort of a booster shot to help us get through the dark and cold winter ahead of us, at least in the Northern Hemisphere. A time to forget about the hardships of life and to focus on the good things just for a short little season. It's a time of a little cheer in an otherwise cold and depressing season, a feast of light in a broken world to help us put our minds unhappy and cheerful things such as family and presents and pleasantries. Now, I think there is nothing wrong with the celebration of good things such as family and friends and the blessings of God. In the book of Job, it is celebrated that Job got his family together and with a feast and a time of familial recalibration, so to speak, to bring the family closer together. God himself instituted feast for the family of Israel in which they would spend time together with good food and joy. And I hope that all of you have the opportunity to meet with loved ones during this time of Christmas, that this will be a time of joyful celebration to all of you. And I don't think that we should, as Christians, say, well, it's not about that, and so let's try not to enjoy it. No, we can enjoy it. And I think it is a good, godly thing to bring the family together to praise God for the gifts He has given us. But in all honesty, this in itself has nothing to do with the true meaning of Christmas. Or better said, it has nothing to do with the purpose of Jesus coming to the earth as a baby. For the true message of Christmas, the true message from God, is far more powerful and far more competent to heal broken hearts and a broken world in our day. This Christmas is not going to solve the problems in America. I can already guarantee you that the news in January will most likely be negative. In February and March and so forth. It is not a time of temporary joyful bliss that Christmas is about, but it's a message of radical happiness, lasting joy, and eternal bliss. It is not less than what most people think of Christmas. It is far better, far greater, and far more. And my hope is that as we prepare our hearts for the coming Christmas season this morning and this afternoon, that we will not be thinking, okay, we have the nice things of Christmas, but then we really have to think about the serious things of Christmas, but rather that we have a little bit of icing of the cake and the nice food and the gifts and the celebrations, but we're really going to see something so far better this Christmas. To see the Lord Jesus Christ is what we long for. To spend some extra days thinking and seeing the Son of God coming to this world. It is such good news that it transforms life forever. Yesterday I read a message by Jonathan Edwards, who was trying to persuade his people there that religion, or being a Christian, makes all of life better. And one of the arguments that he gave is that once you know God, you know who the one is that gives you reason and gives you all the gifts, that you don't just eat things and overeat things and do all these things, but you eat with thankfulness in your heart. You realize that everything you have is a gift from God. I pray that this message this morning will give you something of that in a preparation where it's not just about all the busyness or all the food or the gifts, but it's about the giver of it all. And that you see that we have been brought into a new kind of Christmas, a new kind of life. And so this morning we will look at the promise of a new kingdom. And then tonight will be the highlight of the promise of a new king. Because I think both these messages are brought together here in Isaiah 9. For what God promises is not a day of happy cheer, but an entirely new kingdom. It's amazing how our politics make us feel about the world or the country we live in, isn't it? If it's the politics that we like to have in place, we feel happier. And if it's the politics that we don't like in place, we feel like we live almost in a foreign country. And we say there's a disconnect between us and our leaders. And yet, I think in Christmas, what we see is that the great power of Christmas is that we have been brought into a new kingdom. Not these few years here on earth, but our everlasting King has become the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Christmas is not about one day of happy cheer, but by being brought into a whole new kind of world, a whole new kind of existence, which has made you a whole new kind of people. That's what I want to look with you at this morning. And then tonight, we're going to go to the highlight, because it's great to be in a new kind of world. But wait till you see the King of this kingdom. And this is the experience of a new kind of life and a king we are to meet. This is what the angels sang of. This is the message that heaven rejoiced in. So let us prepare our hearts to sing and rejoice with heaven this week. For there is truly happy news, a Christmas that truly makes us sing glory in excelsis Deo. And so my 4 points this morning are these: the purpose of Jesus' coming, the dawn of a new kingdom, the expansion of this kingdom, and the full arrival of the kingdom. Let us begin with this question of why did Jesus come? Did he come to be a baby so we can make little stalls and sing sweet stories of a baby lying somewhere in a manger? Did God come down as a baby because we needed a little baby sweetness in our midst and a little cherishing in our Christianity? Well, we see no angels singing of the sweetness of the babe in the manger and looking at how cute this baby perhaps was. The angels are not speaking of the softness of his skin or of his weakness or his vulnerability, because this is all human creativity, perhaps, at best. The angels speak of Jesus with the greatest respect. They sing their best song when Jesus comes down to earth. They bow and they stand in awe and bow in holy reverence before this babe in the manger. For they know who it was that was born of Mary. It's the King of heaven, the Creator of the earth, the Lord of glory. And so they worship him. They worship with all their might and with all their strength. To them it was not all what a sweet thing has been born, but no, they sing glory, hallelujah, to this. Glory to God and peace on the earth. They worship him, and the point is this: Jesus did not come to be a baby. Jesus came to be a king, to be worshipped, a savior king. Jesus did not merely come to save us from sin. He came to rule as our king so that we would join the angels and say, glory be to God, glory be to you, O Lord Jesus Christ. To establish a kingdom that would one day topple all the kingdoms of the earth. Have you ever considered that? That this Jesus would be the King of Kings. We see the great rulers of the earth in all their pomp, together with all their power and the amount of people behind them and their armies. And Jesus is their king, and one day they will bow down. Let me bring you back to Babylon. For Jesus' coming was foretold in a dream of the super ruler of the time, King Nebuchadnezzar, ruler of Babylon, ruler of the world, he was called. This is what Daniel describes his dream. You saw, O king, and behold, a great image. An image was made by men, consisting of men's kingdoms. The image mighty, did I tell you the passage? Daniel 2, 31 to 35. This image mighty and of exceeding brightness stood before you, and its appearance was frightening. In other words, this representation of the kingdoms of the world is very impressive. It can be frightening to us. The head of the image was of fine gold, representing Babylon itself. Its chest and its arms were of silver, representing the later Medo-Persian Empire. Its middle and thighs of bronze, representing the kingdom of Alexander the Great in Greece. Its legs of iron, representing the powerful Roman Empire, and its feet, partly of iron and partly of clay, representing the weaker kingdoms that would follow Rome. But that's not the point of the dream. As you looked, the stone was cut out by no human hand, and it struck the image on its feet of iron and clay and broke them in pieces. Then the iron, the clay, the bronze, the silver, and the gold all together were broken in pieces and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floors. It was grounded to powder. It's gone. There was nothing left. And the wind carried them away. All these great kingdoms and these great powers, a little rush of wind, it's gone. But, so that no trace of them could be found, but the stone that struck the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. A kingdom was to come that was not made by human hands, a kingdom established by God, represented by this mysterious stone. This mysterious stone would be a kingdom that would fill the whole earth. Welcome to Christmas. That is who was born in the manger. Can you see that today? When you look at the kingdoms of the world, you think of our kingdom or this country here, America, you think of China, you think of Russia, you think of the Middle East and their rebels there, and you think of the kingdoms and the powers of Africa and all the great powers of the world. And Jesus will one day stand, and his kingdom was coming on Christmas. Jesus came, and when Jesus was born on the world, the rock came to the earth, and ever since he has been growing. But I'm getting ahead of myself. I gotta stay here with my notes before we get there. This stone is a picture of Jesus and his kingdom, and this is the purpose for which Jesus came into the world, to rule the world. And Jesus is the uncut stone that came from heaven. He was born as a little baby, yes, but one day he would be the king to topple all the kingdoms of the world. And that's why I am not afraid where this world will go, because my king will overcome. But before we look at this king tonight, we must first understand the kingdom he built, a reign unlike any kingdom in this world. A kingdom that didn't come with a great splash. A kingdom that came quietly in a small little country called Israel. But it's growing rapidly in our world today. It is taking over the world and will one day fill the whole earth when he comes back and claim his throne. So let's look at the dawn of this kingdom, shall we? Jesus. Human birth brings with it the dawn of a new kingdom. The kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, the Gospels describe it. And this is how the kingdom is introduced in Isaiah. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light, and those who dwelled in a land of deep darkness, on them a light has shone. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with the joy of harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil. That's Christmas. For the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressors, you have broken as of the day of Midian. Christ will break the powers of darkness. For every boot, listen to this, every boot of the trampling warrior in battle tumult and every garment rolled in blood will be burned as fuel for the fire. When Christmas is fulfilled, that is when Christ coming is fully come, every boot that has ever spilled blood unrighteously will be burned. Every form of evil will be cleansed of the earth, and the earth will be renewed as Christ alone will be king, and he will sit upon his throne. And then the peace that we now experience in our heart will truly be peace on earth. The kingdom of God is described by Isaiah as the experience of a great light that shines on people who had been living in perpetual darkness. And then he adds to it an ecstatic joy to a people who were deeply grieved, and on top of that, a happiness to a people who were clouded in deep depression. That is Christmas. To come out of darkness into light. Out of the darkness of this world, in the hiddenness of sin and being brought down in a broken world, and then having in your heart the experience of a whole new kind of life growing. It's almost, if I could put one of those lights in my heart and I could make a little window of my light, that would be the picture, right? Where that light of God would come into our hearts and we begin to experience that peace of God already in our hearts. That's what happened with Christmas, where people began to experience this peace that would one day rule the world, but already experience it in our hearts. That's the dawning of the kingdom of Christ. That's why Jesus says the kingdom of God is already among you. It is already in you, but it's not fully come, but it's already in you. True Christmas is not about external lights, but about a world lit up in heavenly light. True Christmas is not about one happy evening, but about a world filled with lasting joy. True Christmas is about a lasting peace that will end all wars and all hunger. And it started at Christmas. Now, Jesus' coming did not bring world peace. It didn't end hunger. It didn't end the spilling of blood, at least not externally and physically. But the angels saw what was happening, and they saw it better than us, and they were filled with ecstatic joy. For what we see in Christmas, the first Christmas, is Jesus coming to the earth to prepare the world for peace. The beginning of a new kingdom, the beginning of a new kind of world, a world without pain, without death, and without sorrow. A kingdom in which heaven's peace would reign on the earth. For what Jesus came to do as he was born as a human baby in this world was to build a bridge between heaven and earth. Because there was a separation. And the reason why this world is so filled with darkness and bloodshed and hunger and pain and sorrow and grief and all the mess we're in, it's because we are at war with our Heavenly Father. But what Jesus did is he built a bridge between heaven and earth so that this peace would start flowing down. Not the whole world at once, but one soul at a time. You remember that Jacob with the ladder that goes to heaven where the angels would climb up and down? Well, Christ became that ladder, so that the peace of God by the angels would be able to be brought down to us, so that through the Holy Spirit we would begin to experience the peace of God already in this world. By the way, as an aside, the church should always be a foretaste of heaven, because it's God that has been working in our hearts with that peace, so that when we are together, we share that peace with one another, and as we are together as a whole people, it should already be the experience of that peace as we speak of Christ together and we share that peace and love and joy with one another. That is why it's such a joyful experience when two Christians meet and they begin to speak about the things of God, and suddenly there's this peace in the conversation, and suddenly there's this joy that is weird in this world. Like, why are we so happy? Still live in a broken world. But there's a joy in our hearts. You know why? It's not because we make that joy. It's because Christ is pushing the joy in our hearts. The kingdom of God wants to be brought forth. that kingdom reign of Christ is pushing forth. And when we meet together in love, peace, and unity, we experience that kingdom in a way that the world has no knowledge of. So, what we see in the dawn of this kingdom is God becoming man, and mankind finding a way to the peace with God. And so we can say we are part of the kingdom of God already. We have already entered the kingdom of God. Jesus said very clearly in John 3:3, you must be born again, otherwise you cannot see the kingdom of God, or you cannot enter the kingdom of God. In other words, if you are born again and if you've become a believer, you can see the kingdom of God and you have entered the kingdom of God. And yet you don't fully experience it yet, because we're still in the dawn of the kingdom of God. This is why Luke has the angels singing, or that's why they sing in Luke rather, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. What Jesus' birth did is to bring peace on this world. The angels glorified God because they saw the peace of God coming into the world, and they knew that one day this kingdom, because whenever Christ starts something, he will finish it. That as peace entered into the world, one day it would fill the entire globe in the reign of Christ. His peace is what Jesus came to bring. It's what we call justification. This initial peace, this peace with God, salvation, is what saves us from the eternal wrath of God and eternal punishment that was to come. And suddenly the angel saw, because this baby was coming down to the world, which is God himself, that everyone would bow their knees towards this Lord Jesus Christ, would immediately, by that very faith, have peace with God. And so there'd be one person that had peace with God. And then another, and then another, and then another, and then another. That's our world. The way the angels see it. A dark globe, and then as the morning begins to rise, and you fly over a country, I don't know if you've ever had that joy, but you fly over a country, and it's a clear night, and suddenly you see cities beginning to light up. You see lights going on here and there, and as you fly towards the dawn of the day in that nation, you begin to see the light go on as the world begins to be lit up. It's a peace that we experience in our heart. And yet it's only the dawn of the kingdom. It's not what Jesus came for in its fullness. It's just the beginning. Because when Jesus left the earth, he sent his people out and he says, you're my body. I'm your head, but you're my body. You are to continue the spreading of the kingdom of God. And so now we come to our third point, the expansion of the kingdom, because Christmas really is still ongoing today. The kingdom is still being built up, expanded. The kingdom of God is expanding. Christ's rule. Christ is filling the world with light, with peace, with joy. Every day, mind you, every day, Jesus is expanding his kingdom. He is adding people that know that peace of God. Every day. Every day more people are added as believers in the kingdom of God. With the first Christians, Jesus came, spread the seed of the kingdom of God, and he planted himself on the earth. And from his seed, as he died and rose again, he began to bring forth fruit. First in Jerusalem, thousands at a time. Then in Israel and Samaria and across the world, new citizens were brought into the kingdom of God. And with every new citizen, the peace of God is spreading across the world. I see before me a kingdom of peace. where Christ has been planting the seed of the gospel in your hearts. You see that? When God looks into the world with those who don't believe in Christ, it's a war zone. But when he looks at his church, he sees a bride who has the peace of God in their hearts. A kingdom of peace is growing and growing and expanding and expanding. There are now Chinese brothers and sisters who know the peace of the love of God. There are Iranian kingdom citizens. There are Russians and Africans and Europeans and Brazilians. And of course, us here as Americans. Christians all over the world who have come to know the peace of God. And every time one is added, the kingdom of God, the reign of Christ is spreading all over the world. And the rock is growing. The reign, the king, is expanding his glorious reign. And more people begin to say this on Christmas morning. A great light has shone in my heart. Joy has entered my heart. I have become a new man. I have become a new woman. Some say it in English, some say it in Chinese, some say it in Russian, some say it in Arabic, or whatever language they speak. There's peace, there's shalom in my heart. The baby that was born has become my king. You know what the amazing thing is? That every time a person is added to Christ, he will never be separated from Christ. It's a kingdom that never shrinks. The other amazing thing is that the kingdoms of this world rise and fall because the power and the leaders, they're good and bad leaders, and they rise and fall and rise and fall. But here we have a kingdom whose king never dies. He lives forever. And whose citizens never die. Here you have a kingdom with an invincible king and immortal citizens. Because when you become a Christian, you don't just receive God's temporary peace, but his everlasting peace. I'd say that's a pretty good Christmas message, isn't it? Oh, the Chinese have seen a great light. The Russians are seeing a great light. The Americans are seeing a great light. The Africans are seeing a great light. The people in the Middle East are seeing a great light. This year, I just heard by the thousands, they are seeing a great light. Jesus, Christmas is not about lights, even though I love the lights and turn them on whenever it's Christmas. But it's about the light of Christ that comes shining down in our hearts. It's not about the food, even though we should enjoy the food God gives us. And may God bless you men and women who cook so well. But it's about the food that Christ gives us. That's why it's such a joy to celebrate the Lord's Supper next week. That's why I pray that all of you will call upon God all week so that when we gather together, it'll be a feast of joy. Without any disturbance of our heart, without any, but oh no, I'm serving two masters. Be gone with that, serve Christ. So you can taste the sweetness of Christ. Yet the kingdom, however glorious all over the world, however beautiful that more and more people see the light, it's still a hidden kingdom. It's still a kingdom that's an experience of the heart, an inward joy, a peace of knowing God, but in the heart. You don't look much different from people outside. Right? Those who don't know God, it's still a joy and a peace in the heart. You still go through the same hardships and the same pain as everybody else in the world. We don't fully experience Christ's rule yet. We experience Him in our hearts, but we don't experience Christ's reign and rule in a physical world yet, because the kingdom is not fully here yet. And before you say, and this is a temptation, well, that's not part of the kingdom of God. The absence of pain and the absence of war, that's a prosperity gospel we don't believe in. Well, no, we don't believe in the prosperity gospel that says you need to be rich here in this world. But at the same time, we do believe that there will come a physical prosperity in the future. Don't cut out parts of the Bible because people place it in the wrong time frame. Because part of Christ's kingdom most definitely is a world without sickness, without pain, without tears, and without sorrow. It's just not yet. And so, Christians of all the ages have believed in a prosperity gospel that is to come when Christ returns, when Christ will destroy the powers of darkness. He will bring a prosperity that the prosperity preachers of this world have no idea of, because otherwise they'd be willing to suffer all kinds of pain for that world to come quickly. There is a full arrival in the making. So let us, in our Christmas today, also look forward to the fullness of God's coming kingdom. We don't expect the fullness of Isaiah 9, verse 7 yet, the day when Jesus will finally sit upon the throne and all his people will see him and all darkness will be destroyed and all sin will be gone. This is what it says of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end. You know what that means? Pervasive peace of Christ in every experience of life. Pervasive peace of Christ in every family relationship, in every hard mind, body. To have the shalom of Christ so overwhelmingly that every part of your life, whenever you say, You can truly keep the expression, how are you doing? I'm doing great. And you'll never think, well, I got to say great because otherwise I got to explain all my troubles. Every morning you will meet one another and say, I'm doing great. How are you? I'm doing great too. Well, let's get into more detail. How is your mind doing? It's great. Well, how is your stomach? It's great. How is your body? It's great. How's your joy? It's great. Why? Because Christ is great. Isaiah sees Jesus sitting on the throne with limitless peace, justice, and righteousness. We don't see this yet. We still live in a broken world. We experience inward joy and peace. But in that, can't we see in that seed in our heart that if that seed of joy and peace in our heart would be the experience of all of life, what would that be? Heaven. The new earth. And that is the promise in Christmas. Because Jesus, even though his kingdom is spreading in the hearts, the Bible is crystal clear that there will come a day when Jesus will come riding in the second time and he will destroy everything that is not peace and that does not bow the knee to Christ. And all that there will be left when he says the word is a new heaven and a new earth that is reigned and part of the reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. God will keep his promise. The day of Isaiah 9 verse 7 will come. It might come before next week. The day in which this old world will roll up like a scroll along with its sin, its hunger, its war, its depression, and its pain. The day on which Jesus will sit on his throne in the New Jerusalem, the city of God. And dearly beloved, this is the kingdom to which Christmas is pointing. And this is why I celebrate Christmas. This is why I love to spend some extra time thinking of Jesus and why he came in the world. Because I am not worried that this world will be destroyed by global warming. I think we should be wise in the way we live, but I am not afraid of global warming. I am not afraid that the kingdoms of this world will destroy the kingdom of Christ, because they won't. I'm not afraid that my body might be sick and die. Honestly, I had a little thought on the first day when I got the COVID and it was tough. I raised my hand. I said, Lord, is my body weak? Can I go? No, I couldn't, unfortunately. But one day, we will. One day he will return. And this world, this life, which is not that great, will be transformed into a life that is all great. That's the rule of Christ. Don't ever forget that when Jesus brings his good news in the world, it's not just the salvation of the soul. It's to restore everything and make everything new. And if you're going through pain, and a lot of you are, when I look over your faces, I see so much pain in just the last year, whether it's physical or those around you or in your own body. Some of you have been this close to death this year. But remember, Christmas is not about this world. It's to bring you into the kingdom of God. If you have that kingdom of God already reigning in your heart, it's only a matter of time until you fully experience it. That all our minds, whether they are old and forgetful, or whether they've never been so bright, or whether we always thought they're very bright and realized they're very limited, one day they will fully comprehend the glory of our King. See that in a little light, we will continue tonight. And all God's people said, Amen. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, precious Lord Jesus Christ, oh, what joy does fill our hearts knowing that the Son of God has light up in our heart. Oh, for this kingdom to spread to the poor souls that sit around in the neighborhood of this church and in this land and in this world, so that in the days to come they might fully know what it means to be a citizen in the kingdom of heaven. Father, help us to celebrate with ecstatic, everlasting joy. For you are God and there is no other. This world is broken, but healing is on the way. And we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.